Rosemary in the bag and tied around my neck for my protection. I'm walking around, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, herb from the land, yeah. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. See, rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Whoa, I got hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Gold cola tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bones, y'all. I can leave to keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, salad.
And good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but also to turn your life and health around. I am Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health, and I am joined by my able and trusty, knowledgeable assistant, Mr. Frank Smith. Welcome, Brother Frank.
Thank you, Doc. How are you doing?
I'm doing extremely well, extremely well. Our topic this afternoon is God's abundant life. God's abundant life. You know, Brother Frank, we work all of our lives looking forward to retirement and happiness, to the good life, you know. Oh, yeah. To health, wealth, education, happy family, but yet instead, many of us get years of misery, of pain, of premature death. Mm. And one may say, well, why is it? You know, well, a simple answer, it's our lifestyle. It's our lifestyle. You know, the Bible says that the thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We just don't want to live. We want to have rich, abundant life, you know. But these choices, we have choices. We can choose the lifestyle that we want to live. We've talked about them before, but there are some areas in the world. They've identified five in particular. They're called the blue zones. The blue zones. And Brother Frank, you remember, these are the areas where people live into their 90s, 100s. They're on no medication. All right. No pills.
Yes.
You know, no arthritis. Many of them, no glasses. There's one in Greece. There's one in Japan. There's one in Italy. There's one in Costa Rica. And there's one in Loma Linda, California. In Loma Linda, California. You know, the one in Loma Linda, they've studied that blue zone, and they say that this group of people have the longest life expectancy of any group in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked about this guy. There was a Dr. Ellsworth Warham, Dr. Warham is a cardiovascular surgeon, all right, that retired at the age of 99, Brother Frank. The brother was cracking chests and operating those people's hearts at 99. And his colleagues did not want him to retire then.
Mm.
Now, surgeons, Brother Frank, are very, very particular. They don't want you around if you're messing up. So this brother must have still been doing good, even at 99. But he was a part of that Loma Linda Blue Zone. And they follow something called the Eight Laws of Health. The Eight Laws of Health. These were some rules governing and regulating their lifestyle. We don't want anybody or anything to regulate us, Brother Frank.
Mm-hmm.
We want to do what we want to do.
That's the problem.
When we want to do it. But then we want to have good health and longevity in spite of our poor choices. But it don't work that way, unfortunately. These eight laws of health, one is dealing with nutrition, what kind of food you eat. One is dealing with exercise. One is dealing with water, how much water you drink. And then one is simple, Brother Frank, is sunshine. Getting out in the sun, you know. There's one temperance, one on fresh air, you know. Then there's one on rest or sleep. It's amazing how few people get adequate rest, you know. And when I ask my patients about it, and I ask all of them about, you know, tell me about your sleep. And then I ask them, what time do you go to bed? And they'll tell me, Brother Frank, 11, 12, 1. A few of them, the ones that's in the best health, will tell me they go to bed around 9 or 10. But the vast majority, and unfortunately, I used to be in that group, and I would argue with my wife when she said, babe, you need to go to bed. I got all this work to do. And then it hit me one day or one night how inefficient I was because I was tired.
Yeah.
You know, the body needs rest. And so rest is one. And then the last one was trust in divine power, trust in God, you know. And I understood all of these except this one on temperance. You know, I didn't understand what did temperance have to do about my health. And then I remember I was driving home, Cleveland, Ohio, one weekend to see my mama. And I was by myself. I had to go and do some things and come right back. And you know, when you're by yourself, you can solve all the problems of the world. You know, you you can think and so I was in this pensive mood and just, you know, in deep thought. And as I came into the city limits and I was passing Lake Erie, that there was a storm brewing over the lake. Mm-hmm. And the thought came to me, Frank, is that you cannot live with without water, but too much will kill you. There has to be moderation. There has to be temperance in our lives. And so as we look at these laws, we recognize that exercise matters. Exercise matters. In fact, Dr. Devise was the head of the President's Council for Physical Fitness for Seniors back in the Reagan administration, I believe it was. And he, it was around the time that I was starting my program, Walk for Life, my senior program, where I wanted to go into these senior buildings, and I would want to work with old, poor, uneducated Black folks. I wanted to teach them some health principles. I said, if I can help them, I can help anybody. Because unfortunately, we're the sickest of the sick. And doing my research, Brother Frank, I ran across an article where Dr. DeVise said that you can regain 20 years of function with 4 to 6 weeks of exercise.
Man.
20 years of function, meaning that if you're 70, you in 4 to 6 weeks, you can function as if you were 50. If you were 80, in 4 to 6 weeks, Brother Frank, you can function as if you're 60. But you can't do it by walking 20 minutes three times a week. You got to go at least 60 to 90 minutes 5 to 6 times a week. All right? Walking and or jogging. So what I tell my patients is that I want you to set a goal to do 90 minutes for 90 days. 90 minutes for 90 days. All right? But if you haven't been walking for a while, you're all out of shape, then you're not going to be able to do 90 minutes initially. Benny a couple weeks ago called and said when he started, he could only walk a block. And I told him to keep walking that block.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep walking that block. You know, but what I tell my patients is I say, walk until you start to get tired. I never want you to get tired. The minute you have to take a deep breath, stop and rest. And then walk again until you start to get tired. Stop and rest. And then walk the third time until you start to get tired and quit. Makes and then sense. Go and rest and come back the next day. You know, we find that diet and nutrition really matters. If you want to be healthy, you got to look at what you eat. You know, now, so that you don't think that this is just Ted Watkins talking, there's this guy, Dr. Sung. Dr. Sung was MD, SCD, doctor in social science, I guess. And he was a research fellow at Harvard and at Mass General Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And back in night and in 2016, he wrote an article where he showed that his research showed that for every 3% increase in calories from plant-based foods, plant-based proteins, replacing animal protein. So you increasing the plant protein and you're decreasing the animal protein, and what you would get is a 10% reduction in the risk of dying overall, all right? But you'd get a 12% reduction in dying from heart disease, which everybody but Ted Watkins says is the number one cause of death. Ted Watkins says stress is the number one cause of death. And heart disease is number two. But at any rate, he stressed that we need to cut back on the, if not cut out, he stressed cut back, Ted Watkins stressed cut out animal and dairy protein. All right? But when we look at this nutrition and it really matters, we got to eat some fresh fruit, you know, some fresh vegetables. You know, those the fruits are low in calories, they're low in fat, they're high in unrefined carbohydrates. You know, we talked about the myth about we don't need to eat carbohydrates. The issue, Brother Frank, as you know, is we don't need to eat refined carbohydrates. That white flour, that white sugar, you know, we don't need to eat those refined carbohydrates. But those unrefined carbohydrates, they're high in vitamins and minerals, and they're high in fiber, all right? We also need to eat a lot of vegetables, those leafy green vegetables and multicolored vegetables. They're high in antioxidants, you know, and the different colors have different kinds of antioxidants. They're high in your vitamins, your B, your C, your E, your folate. You know, these are powerful antioxidants, you know, that go in and knock out those free radicals that cause premature aging of a cell, early death of our cells. And of course, when our cells die, we die. You know, these vegetables are also high in fiber. And that fiber slows down the absorption of sugar into the bloodstream. So if you're going to be eating junk, you need to also get your fruits and vegetables in there because they contain fiber. Of course, any good nutritional program has to have some beans, Brother Frank. You can't be a good nutritional program and leave out your beans. You know that most people that live the longest, they eat that rice and other grains and beans, all right? Because they're excellent source of protein, all right? They're excellent source of protein. Actually, they're excellent source of amino acids, which go to produce the protein, because they actually don't have protein themselves. They have the amino acids. They also have something called phytates, and phytates are called non-nutrients, but they have a powerful impact on so many various aspects of the body. You know, they help in terms of the heart. They help to slim you down. They help to fight cancer. They help to lower blood sugar. They're just tremendous things. And of course, beans have plenty of fiber. And so these beans are useful in preventing and even treating diabetes, in preventing and treating heart disease, cardiovascular disease, as well as preventing and treating many cancers, all right? Beans, good for the heart. The more you eat, the more you break wind. The more you break wind, the better you feel. Beans at every meal. Praise the Lord. Beans. All right. Now, there are things that you need to include in your diet, but there are also some things that you need to keep out of your diet. I don't know how they call cheese food, but they do. But you need to stay away from it. All right. Because I learned back in around 92 that 60 to 90% of all the calories in cheese came from fat, Frank.
Mm.
And it was the bad fat. It was the heart-killing fat. It was the hardening of the artery fat. It was the increase in inflammation fat. You know, bad fat. I said, oh, Lord, not Melito's pizza. Because I was a vegetarian that loved my cheese. But now I love to avoid the cheese. All right? So you want to stay away from the cheese. You want to stay away from refined carbohydrates, refined foods. And you want to stay away from other fatty foods that are produced from animals. And even when you eat your plant-based fats, they need to be in moderation. So that temperance needs to apply even when you eat good things. You know, when we increase our fat, it makes us fat, all right? When we increase our fat, it makes us fat. And those refined foods, they're rapidly absorbed into the bloodstream. The sugars are rapidly absorbed into the bloodstream. And they increase that blood sugar, you know. They increase the insulin production. And both the sugar and the insulin in excess have tremendous negative effects on the various organ systems, on all of our organ systems, you know. And so we need to stay away from those things. Now, there was a very interesting study, and you know I like my studies, Frank, where they looked at people eating a whole food plant-based diet versus eating the diet recommended by the American Diabetic Association. And they looked at these two diets and their impact on diabetes. And they found that if you ate that whole food plant-based diet, that your blood sugar was better controlled. They found that your insulin long-term was more sensitive. Now, we've talked about the number one cause of diabetes is insulin resistance, meaning that the insulin is there, but it can't work. There's resistance at the cellular level so that it can't open the cell so to let the glucose in so that it can be utilized by the body as a source of energy. But the plant-based diet helps to reverse that, all right? You get greater weight loss with a plant-based diet. You're less likely to have cardiovascular disease, lower risk of cardiovascular disease. And one of the things that really was surprising, Brother Frank, that it was better tolerated. It was better tolerated than the animal, the diet recommended by the American Diabetic Association, which contained animal and dairy-based foods, you know, and some of those refined foods and so forth. Now, we talked about diabetes. I've mentioned multiple times on this station, and I can't say it enough, because diabetes is epidemic in our society. It's especially bad in African American community, and not only is it the seventh leading cause of death, it is the number one cause of amputations. It's the number one cause of kidney failure. It increases the risk of heart attacks by 500%. It increases the risk of strokes by 200%. And it's the number one cause of adult blindness. And what they found out, and this was at Duke University, Dr. Walter Kempner, he found out that putting patients on a plant-based diet, particularly the rice diet, you can actually prevent and reverse diabetic retinopathy. He actually was able to, and I've done it also utilizing his program, reverse blindness and people who came in that was blind. You know, it's amazing what can be done if a person changes. And he published that in the postgraduate medical journal back in 1958, Frank. Back in 1958, before they were shooting people in the eye, you know, for diabetic retinopathy to stop the bleeding, he showed that you could prevent it and reverse it with a plant-based diet, man.
Wow.
But you know, I mean, I remember speaking to one of my brothers at church. He had talked about the fact that he was getting shot in the eye. I said, man, how could somebody let somebody put a needle in their eye? You know, I said, look, man, I can help you. I can help you avoid that. That was about 10 years ago, my brother. I ain't talked to that brother since then about that. You know, rather get shot in the eye than eat them plants. Eat that fruit. Another thing that diabetics really complain about is this thing called diabetic peripheral neuropathy. What's that, Brother Frank? Diabetic peripheral neuropathy.
That's where you get pain in the feet.
Pain. And your hands and your feet. They say it has a stock and glove distribution, you know, and it's due to the fact that the nerves are damaged. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother right across town, Dr. Neil Bernard of Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, did a study back in 2015 along with his university, George Washington University, Cal State University, and Eastern Bay. They published this in Nutrition and Diabetes that you could actually reverse peripheral neuropathy. And as I recall, they were able to get reduce that pain or get rid of the pain in 15 days. 15 days. So it's important. Nutrition really matters. Exercise really matters. But maintaining a healthy weight also really matters, and it especially matters in our society, because here in the United States, the overall adult, U.S. adult, 42% of them are obese. 42% are obese.
And that's not talking about overweight. That's obese.
Obese. Overweight. Body mass index up to 24.9.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. 25 to 30. Yeah, 25 to 30 is considered obese. Obese. Or is it the other way around? At any rate, 42% are obese. In the Black community, the African-American, non-Hispanic African-American community, 50%, 49.9% of adults, African-American adults, are obese. Almost 46%, 45.6% of Hispanics, 41.4% of non-Hispanic whites. And even the Asians are getting more obese, but they're only 16.1%.
Mm-hmm.
But it used to be 12%. So even the Asians are getting obese. And, you know, our friend Dr. Cheatham hit me hard, Brother Frank. He says that you not only have to look at your weight, you also have to look at your waist circumference.
Oh, yeah.
You have to look at your waist circumference. And the waist circumference is more than just a notion, all right? Because it will determine your risk for being sick, all right? Now, if you want to be at very low risk, if you're a female, you need to be less than 27.5 inches. If you're a male, 31.5 inches. I used to be there, Frank. Most of my life, I was at low risk. Now I'm just low. Because low for men, 31.5 to 39. For women, 27.5 to 35. So if you're a woman and you have a waist circumference greater than 35.5 inches, you are at high risk. It goes from 35.5 to 43 inches. All right? And if you're a brother, if you're or a male, 39.5 to 47. That's high risk. And if you have a waist, a brother, 47 inches or greater, you're at very high risk. Very high risk, meaning you need to make sure your affairs is in order.
Wow.
Because at any moment, you can go. And if you're female, you're greater than 43.5 inches, you're in bad shape. All right? You know, we talk about heart disease, and I've said it many times, 50% of people who have a heart attack, their first symptom is sudden death.
Mm-hmm.
They go to bed at 12, and they wake up at 3 dead. All right? Sudden death. And if they survive that first heart attack, then the 50% that don't die and they don't change and change their lifestyle and start doing what we're talking about here today, another 50% will have another heart attack. And
even
die.
With bypass.
Huh?
Even with the treatment, bypass.
Even with the treatment. Even with the treatment, you know? So we need to recognize that maintaining a healthy weight matters. But as they analyze the blue zones and they start seeing patterns, they saw that socialization was one of the key factors in their longevity. So friends and family really mattered. Friends and family really matter. The people who lived the longest, they socialized, all right? Of course, they were doing good socialization. You know, they weren't getting together drinking, drugging, eating fatty foods, you know? But socialization, it's important for me to get with my brother Frank and just chit-chat, you know? About various things, laugh and have a good time, socialization. And this is important because we find a lot of people isolate themselves, Brother Frank. They don't want to be with other folk, you know? They want to be by themselves. And that is not a good way to live a long, healthy life. the thing that I do with just about all of my patients, put them on a fast. We find that fasting really matters. Fasting is one of the changes in lifestyle that really matters. And now I don't use the lemon fast or the water fast. I used to use the lemon fast, but I never really use the water fast much, because the water fast, if you don't know what you're doing, especially after about 3 days, can be very, very dangerous.
Yeah, you need to
because there are all kind of electrolyte imbalances and so forth that can occur, and other changes and hormones and so forth. And so, but what I call a modified juice fast, a modified juice fast really works. It helps to control diabetes. I get my patients off of medication in as little as 3 to 5 days with a normal blood sugar. If you're overweight, fasting helps you to lose weight. If you got bad arthritis.
Oh, yeah.
And when I set up my program, Walk for Life, and I went in those senior buildings, I was really interested in diabetes and heart disease and cancer, stroke prevention. But they were interested in arthritis because of the pain and so forth associated with it. And fasting gets rid of the inflammation and significantly helps to improve their arthritis and helps you to reverse it. You know, they're always telling patients you got bone on bone. I tell patients, if you can sit and swing your legs, you don't have bone on bone, because bone on bone is extremely painful with just the least movement, you know, and with the proper program, you can reverse it. Fasting even helps to prevent and reverse some cancers. Now, I used to put everybody on my fasting program, but my cancer patients. But then I read this article where fasting, people with fasting, it helps to lower the IGF-1, the insulin growth factor 1. And the insulin growth factor 1 is associated with elevated cancer. So by fasting, you can help prevent cancer. And even if you choose to use chemotherapy, fasting can help you to decrease how much chemotherapy and how long you use it, because it decreases the IGF-1. Now most of your oncologist ain't gonna tell you that. So you gotta lay it on them if you choose to do chemotherapy. Of course, I've seen many cancers reverse without chemotherapy. The number here is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. We're talking about God's abundant life. If you have a comment or question, give us a call. 202-588-0893. 0893. Now, Brother Frank, there are a couple other things that, or what I call lingering issues that we want to address today. One of them, of course, is that issue of stress. You know, stress. The other issue, which we're going to be dealing with in the next few weeks, is dementia. these are really significant problems. And you know, as I've said earlier in the program, stress is the number one cause of death in this country. Why? Heart disease associated with stress. Cancer, stress. High blood pressure, stress. Diabetes, stress. Ulcers, stress. Arthritis, stress. Headaches, migraines, stress. I mean, you just go down the list. Ulcers, stress. So many things are stress related, all right? But one of the points that I like to always make, and I do it with all of my patients, because I talk about it with all of my patients, that stress comes from within, Brother Frank, not from without. Stress comes from within, not from without. And so we need to be aware that we can do something, number one, to prevent the stress. Your husband, your wife, your children, your boss don't cause you stress. Your response to them causes you stress. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Give us a call with questions or comments. Yes, caller. You're on the line.
Hi, my name is Yolanda, and I'm calling because I have a church member who is experiencing cancer. And so when I hear stuff that I think is important, I try and pass it on to them. And also, I want to know, how can they get in touch with you for themselves? Because he's in a hospital right now.
Okay. They can call my office at 202-388-388. 202-388-0992. They can call, and I'll be glad to talk with them.
Okay. And so the fasting, do you help people with the fasting if they want to do it? Like me, myself.
Oh, yes.
Do I need to call y'all at that same number, the 388-0992?
Yeah, they can call and they can talk to my office and get them straight.
Good, because I'm going to be dialing that number. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, we're Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the office is open.
Okay, then.
I'm old man. I can't work every day now.
I can't tell you old, so I'm go ahead and wait and call you after you get off your little vacation break. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
You're more than welcome. The numbers here is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Give us a call with any questions or comments. But let's go back to the phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Yes, good afternoon. Am I speaking to Dr. Watkins?
You are speaking to Dr. Watkins and Brother Frank. Yes.
Yes, Brother Frank and Dr. Watkins, thank you so much for helping to educate us as a people, because we need help. So I was listening to what you were saying about obesity and about stress and all of that. My concern is, how do you align your treatment with meditation, like Ayurveda? That's a question. And also, I'm an educator. My name is Dr. Tutu. I taught in D.C. everywhere, and I went to HU. So I'm well prepared. But how do we prevent people who look like me from being told that if we discuss obesity, it's shaming? The people who make clothes and stuff are making humongous clothes so that everybody can feel comfortable. That's fine. But in the end, when they commercialize, it's okay to get bigger and bigger. We get bigger and bigger.
And that's why we have to think for ourselves. All right.
Yes,
we have to think for ourselves. You're absolutely correct, because the industry is only interested in the industry.
That's right.
But I don't shame people for being overweight. I help them reverse it. In fact, I became interested in obesity because I was always skinny.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to one of those black colleges, universities myself, what I found, HBCUs, what I found was that I developed a nickname called Weenie Bill. And they called me that because I was so skinny. You know, I was in Atlanta this weekend, and I was, I stayed with my, I spoke in Atlanta, I stayed with my roommate from college. And he told his wife, yeah, that's all people, they didn't know his name was Theodore. They called him Weenie Bill, you know? And I was very popular and everything, and I would laugh, but I didn't like being Weenie Bill. And then one day it hit me that people who are overweight, they don't like being overweight. But being skinny is not necessarily a health issue. Being overweight is. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I got into helping people reverse this obesity thing.
Yeah, the shame should go to the industries that make us fat. Shame on them.
Now, what about the meditation? Because
medication. Well, my name is Dr. Watkins, and I am an MD, Howard trained MD.
Like my brother went to Howard Medical School. His last name is Purchase in the 1970s.
What was his name?
Ivor Purchase.
I think I know him.
I know. We know him. He used to mess up the curve in undergrad, and not the curve, but he did some of that.
He's a bad boy. He's a bad brother.
Yes, he used to mess up the curve, so you know, people know us. And I'm his supposedly. Yeah. They always
he's a good brother. But anyway, so we're able to help people who are on medication.
Yeah.
If they want, many of them, we're able to help them get off medication and reverse the disease, because unfortunately, too many doctors treat symptoms and they don't treat the disease.
The root cause.
All right.
They don't treat the root cause. No, I have a real burning issue. One of my former students who I taught at Howard is now getting chemo for, you know, the big C. And I would love if he could come to you and you could talk to him and work with him. Because, you see, he is obese. He's a big, tall guy from PG County, wonderful. He just earned his PhD from Howard. Didn't go to graduation because he was scared to be around a lot of people because of a compromised immune system. You know, when people are getting chemo, you know, all of that.
Give him my number.
Okay. I don't know what kind of insurance he has. All I know, he was my darling student from about 10 years ago, and I call him all the time to check on him, but I'm really concerned that they're treating what appears to be the manifestation and not the root cause. And I lost a student January 1 because of obesity. She was almost 300 pounds. I tried to talk to her. She didn't want to talk about it. Her mom didn't want to talk to her about it, and she died on January 1 when I was in Asia, and I'm still crying inside.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, a lot of people are brainwashed. That's why here on To Your Health, we try to give them information, and we try to let them know that this information is not just coming from Dr. Watkins' head, but this is information that's been documented by double-blind placebo-controlled studies from some of the leading universities in the country, if not in the world, even though they don't necessarily practice it, but the information is out there. Thank you so much. And 202-3 888-992 is the number that they can call. 202-388-0992. All right. Let's go back to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Hi, Dr. Watkins. I was very encouraged by the statement you made about stress comes from within rather than from without. I am a person, I'm a 75-year-old woman with two parents in their late 90s. I am their caregiver and go-to person, and a brother with cancer and a brother with Parkinson's. I'm everybody's go-to person.
Mm-hmm.
How on earth do I untangle myself from the stress and the weight of all that? Because their situations are not going to change.
So you have... You have a lot on your plate, all right?
Yep. Yes, I do.
But that doesn't cause stress. Stress is the response to what you have on your plate, you know?
Gotcha.
Like when I was in med school, I would never allow myself to think that medical school was hard, all right?
Okay.
Because I wanted to be a doctor, all right? And if I thought it was hard, I felt it may impact me negatively. You're taking care of your parents and your siblings, not because you have to, but because you choose to.
Yeah.
And so what I would suggest is that you pray and you ask the Lord to show you how to get some assistance. All right?
Okay.
We are a village, or at least we're supposed to be a village. We say we are a village. We need to function as a village. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to reach outside of ourselves to get help from others. Some people say they don't have others they can go to. Others just refuse to go to others. But I believe that all of us, you know, can reach out and find people that will assist us in our situations and help relieve some of the stress that is on us.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay. Except I'm one of those people who there's nobody else.
Well, there are other people around, church, social organizations, neighbors. You know, he who would have friends must show himself friendly. You know, we can definitely do a lot to change our situation, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try doing that.
But give me a call. I'll try to help you brainstorm and discover some of those resources that you have. All right.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We just have a couple minutes. I think we have one last caller. We're going to go to him real quick. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Yes, Dr. Watkins. This is Mr. Guy, Mary's husband.
Yes.
I have a question. I was told that because I had three shots that I have multiple sclerosis, diagnosed it from a MRI up at Johns Hopkins. And I'm also want to know about sea moss. Is that a good thing to do to get me off and my wife off of meds? Appreciate you, Doc.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to do a thing on sea moss. All right. I'm going to do a thing on sea moss because Brother Frank and I are doing research on it because it it comes from dirty water. And so we'll have to deal with that. But we will do that. Look here, the time has creeped up on us and we got to get out of here. I thank you so much for your participation. We look to deal with this more. Last thing I was going to talk about was dementia, and we're going to talk about that again. This is Dr. Ted Watkins, the program To Your Health. We're going to see you again next week.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. Alma Johnson Powell, the wife of the late Secretary of State Colin Powell, has died. Born in October of 1937, Mrs. Powell studied speech pathology and audiology at Emerson College in Boston and worked as a staff audiologist, or someone who helps treat hearing disorders. She was married to Colin Powell from 1961 until his death in October of 2021, standing by his side during his historic military career. 4 months after the Powells were married, Colin Powell was sent to Vietnam, leaving Alma to navigate the first few years of her life as a newlywed alone, something that she later called the defining experience of her life. She said that as a military spouse, your job was to make a home wherever you were. The Powells' three children, Michael, Linda, and Anne Marie, echoed those sentiments. They said of their mother, and I quote, "During childhoods marked by constant moving to new homes, we always felt secure because home was wherever she stood. She was an exemplary role model for us and for the world," end quote. Alma Johnson Powell was 86 years old. It's been a little over 2 weeks since the assassination attempts on former President Donald Trump in Pennsylvania. He has now agreed to sit for a victim interview with the FBI about the incident. Victim interviews are a routine part of criminal investigations, but are voluntary. Kevin Rojek, the special agent in charge of the FBI's Pittsburgh field office, said the FBI wants to get Trump's perspective on what he observed, just like any other witness to the crime. FBI investigators continue to focus their efforts on uncovering the motive of Thomas Matthew Crooks, the 20-year-old would-be assassin. Rojek says what they do know is that Crooks had a growing interest in shooting. Before the Trump rally shooting, Crooks searched how far away Lee Harvey Oswald was from John F. Kennedy. He also made searches related to power plants, mass shooting events, information on improvised explosive devices, and the attempted assassination of the Slovakian prime minister earlier this year. To your local news, in New York City, Mayor Eric Adams declared a state of emergency over the weekend in city jails, issuing an executive order that blocked key parts of a local law that would have banned solitary confinement in the jails. The mayor's move came only 1 day before the law was set to go into effect. The emergency order, which took effect on Sunday, will remain in place until 30 days have passed or it has rescinded. According to the city's council website, the law would do a number of things, including 1. Limit the time a person can spend in solitary confinement to 4 hours, unless it falls under exceptional circumstances. And 2, limit restrictive housing to no more than 30 consecutive days and no more than 60 days within any 12-month period. Mayor Adams states in the order that the law would be dangerous and would subject incarcerated individuals and staff to further risk of harm. In the D.C. area, local leaders are saying that abnormally dry conditions across the D.C. area have given way to a drought watch affecting almost 6 million residents across the region. The Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments said in a news release that the Potomac River and backup reservoirs currently have an adequate water supply, but voluntary water conservation efforts will help complement measures already in place to mitigate water demand. As a result, residents and businesses are being asked to conserve their water use. Steps that can be taken include fixing plumbing leaks, washing full loads of dishes and clothes, and keeping showers to less than 5 minutes. More tips are available on the council's website, which is mwcog.org. Again, that's mwcog.org. In today's weather, it's currently about 82 degrees in New York, and 91 degrees in D.C.